Y'all don't forget that I'm not just talking to the people in this room. I'm talking to people all over the internet, Facebook, our website, all of that. So, and a lot of us, you know, especially if we've been in serving the Lord for a while, a lot of times we know, you know, pretty good bit about fast, what biblical fasting is. But I think that we don't hear very much about it anymore. I went on the internet and I looked it up. I just put in sermons on fasting. They was about only 7 ministers on the internet that had a sermon on fasting. And I'm like, we have a problem. That's a big problem. Now, there was more sermons than just 7, but there was only like 7 different ministers. One was Jensen Franklin, one was Tony Evans. I don't know, I don't remember the rest of them. You know, but there was only about 7 different ministers that had that. That tells me we have a problem if this is not being taught. Because biblical fasting has tremendous benefits, has tremendous rewards, not only spiritually, but also physically. You know, physically, even the doctors will tell you, 1 day a week fasting is good for your body. For most of us, our digestive tract never rests. It thinks it's going to get to rest after we eat supper at 5 or 6 o'clock, but we're up at 1 or 2 eating pie. Y'all ain't saying nothing. The reason why we call breakfast breakfast is because you're breaking a fast. You've been asleep. Most of us sleep all night. You've not been eating anything. So when you get up, you've actually been fasting. Now, I'm not talking about fasting for the Lord. It's just not eating is what you've been doing all night, and you get up, and that's why we call that first meal breakfast. Now, in the Bible, what?
That's very good.
You know what?
About the breakfast?
That's very good.
Oh, well, that's why it is. It's breaking fast. Anyway, okay. I'm like, what are y'all saying down there? All right. In the Bible, there's pretty much 3 types of fast. There's one with water. There's one without water. And there's a vegetable, which most of us would call that Daniel fast, you know. There's different number of days that it was done, you know. I mean, some would say Moses did 80 days, some say 40 days. If y'all remember the story of what happened. He's up on the mountain. That's why they make the golden calf, because he's gone so long. He's up there. He's in the very presence of God himself, getting the 10 commandments. He doesn't eat anything, and he doesn't drink anything. He's on top of him, man. After 40 days, he comes down, gets upset about the golden calf, breaks the 10 commandments, and he goes back on the mountain. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
I don't see where it says he came down and ate and drank anything.
Right.
So, I mean, that could be disputed, you know, 80 days or 40 days. Now, the point to all of that is, I don't suggest you go over 40 days unless you are absolutely led by the Spirit of God. Reason why this doctor say pretty much that after 40 days, I mean, you got starvation setting in. Jesus himself, he only did 40 days. But anyway, there's different ones. I think it was Peter did 3 days. The Apostle Paul at one point did 7 days. When he was on the ship with all the guys, you know, when the ship was being torn apart, they did 14 days, you know, of fasting. So it's not necessarily about the amount of days. But there's one with water. There's one without water. I wouldn't personally suggest, unless you're just absolutely led, you go more than 3 days without water. Reason being, you know, while you're fasting, your body, your body has built up toxins. Even if you eat the best organically that you can, there's toxin in just the very air that we breathe, to a certain degree. You know, food sometimes have pesticides and things like that on it that we eat that get stored in our bodies. And one of the things that fasting does, that's not for spiritual reasons, it's like oven cleaner to your body. So while you're fasting, you want to get all of that stuff flushed out. And I'm going to tell you something. If you are a big caffeine drinker or you're a big sugar eater, you can have some violent reactions. I remember one time, and at this particular time, I was a very big sweet eater. I don't eat sweets too much anymore. But at this time, I was a very big sweet eater. And I had went on a fast, and it actually was only, I think, the first day. And it was late in the evening by this time. I got one of the worst headaches I have ever had in my entire life. I mean, to the point to where I'm in the bathroom, I'm throwing up, and my body is almost in convulsions. I'm sitting beside the toilet. I mean, and I am just, and Scotty, he's kind of scared, you know, he's nervous, and he says, maybe you should eat something. And I could hear that in my head. If you'll eat, it'll stop. If you'll eat, it'll stop. Well, you know, I mean, the devil lies to you, and people will tell you all kinds of stuff. Well, you're dying, you know. This is not good for you. You should not do this. But you won't die. The people in the Bible, they didn't die, and we won't die today either. It might feel like at times you're dying. Because how many knows if you've ever been on a fast, sometimes you don't see the rewards immediately. Not physically. Sometimes your tongue will get coated over, you know, and you get bad breath, you know, and different things like that. Now, I said here, there's three types, basically. One with water, one without water, and one's pretty much vegetables and stuff. We call it the Daniel fast. And we'll go, if the Lord will allow us, we'll go back and we'll look at each one of these. But now, right now, I'm just trying to lay a foundation because some people today, they don't know what a fast is. They'll say, you mentioned fasting or something, be grown up about fasting, you know. Oh, yeah, I fasted TV. Wonderful thing to fast, but that's not a biblical fast. Oh, y'all feel that? That got real quiet. While you're fasting, you should be fasting TV lest it's preaching.
Right.
You don't want to fast the body from food, but then fill it up with junk
right.
from TV. You know, some people say, well, I'm going to fast Facebook. A wonderful thing to fast. I mean, I went on a fast from Facebook one time. It lasted 4 years. Just a couple years ago, got back on Facebook. Right. So that's a wonderful thing to fast. My life was a lot better off at times without Facebook. There is a few things, you know, that I get from there. So that's not a biblical fast. Now listen to me. You can fast anything that you choose to or anything that you feel led to. But what I'm talking about this morning is biblical fasting. It is absolutely, now if you're going to do the absolute fasting, there's absolutely no food whatsoever. None. I know we don't want to hear that. Especially, look how big I am. I don't want to hear that. I didn't get this big by fasting all the time. I can tell you. I mean, it don't come through the air. Fat don't come through the air just though. So I'm talking about a biblical fast. One of the definitions in, let's see where I looked at it. The Webster's Dictionary says fasting is to give up food, especially for a religious reason. The Hallman's Bible Dictionary says, refraining from food for the object of seeking God. Now, all religions pray,
yep.
And there's thousands of them. They all pray to something or to somebody. I mean, you got religions, they pray to rats. I mean, I saw a documentary on it one time, and there's just, in their temple, there's like golden, big old bowl thing, plate-like things of milk. And there's rats this long, all over that temple eating that milk. That's their God. That's what they pray to. So all religions pray. The majority of all religions fast. Muslims fast. But their God is Allah, which is not a one true God. There's only one God, and his name is Jehovah. Or some say Yahweh. You know, right? And he's supposed to be the one that we serve. So fasting is not just for the Christians, or just the Christians, those that follow Christ, that's been born again, are the ones that are supposed to be doing it. But I would say probably because he doesn't just make us, and it's something that a lot of times we can just ourselves choose, we can do it without having to be led, that a lot of Christians, they won't do it. Why? It's painful. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like anything that causes me pain. But you go to the gym, and sometimes on the wall, what's the saying to be? No pain, no gain. Same thing in the spirit. No pain, no gain. All right. So it's doing, what I'm talking about this morning is ones with absolutely no food. Now, because some people, your tongue will get coated over and different. Listen, that's just your body's way of releasing the bad things that's in it. You're not dying. There's not nothing wrong with you. But sometimes you'll get bad breath, your tongue will get coated over, some people will eat syrups. I do not recommend that. Why? Because part of the fasting is you are denying your physical body absolutely everything. Syrups has lots of sugar. See, this is a biblical fasting. It's not about doing without food and drinking Cokes or Gatorade. No. You look at Cokes and Gatorade, they are loaded with sugar. That's one of the things I'm supposed to be denying from this body. Why? It likes sugar. Yeah. It likes carbonation. I like it when the bubbles are in my mouth, you know, and they bubble all down your throat and all that, instead of water where it just go. Yeah. Y'all are real pot. I don't suggest that you use syrups or any kind of mints or anything. Like, go brush your teeth. You know, if you're at work, take your toothbrush and your toothpaste with you. I'm sure you go to the bathroom sometime a day while you're there. Brush your teeth while you're there. If you're having a problem with a coat or the bad breath or something like that, you know, don't make everybody stay away from you because you're fasting. You know, because you're stinking. Sometimes your body odor will even get worse. All this stuff varies from person to person, how long, what kind of fast you're on, and different things like that. Now, while you're fasting, you should never do it without prayer and the Word. Why? Because the point to the fasting is to clean out, to silence. I don't know about y'all, but I hear all kinds of voices. There's the voice of my own flesh. There's the voice of the devil. There's the voice of my own spirit. There's the voice of God. There's the voice of media. There's the voice of culture that always is trying to talk to me, always trying to lead me, always trying to convince me this is the right way. So one of the things while you're fasting is you're trying to silence all other voices except God's and the voice of your own spirit. And you can't do that. Keep continuing to fill it with a bunch of junk. So you need to cut that junk off. Get you some good preaching. And the whole church said amen.
Amen.
And pray. Why? Because it's not just enough for you just to do without food. You're supposed to be making a connection with God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That is my spiritual food. And prayer is more than just talking to God or telling God all your problems. You're supposed to enter into His presence, into a place of fellowship and a communion, to a place to where when you're there, there's nothing else. When you're in His presence, there's not one problem. When you're in His presence, there's not one thought about how you feel. Your focus, when you're in it, there's a place where He abides that there's absolutely nothing and nobody else matters.
Yeah.
Except Him. Everything else just kind of falls away. And sad to say, a lot of times, including myself, we've not even in our prayer time entered into that place. We've been too quick. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
That's right.
I've been too quick to just run in there and tell what I want, tell how I feel, praise you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, you know, and I got to go, and I got to the... Why? Because the flesh, my flesh, I figure flesh is flesh, but my flesh would rather be doing something while I'm fasting than sitting still. Why? It'll occupy you. Get your mind off how you feel. Get your mind... There's something in your body that's called ghrelin. Don't ask me to spell that, I can't. And what that is that little thing in your belly that goes, wah. God built that into us. You never have to remember to eat. You've got it built in on the inside of you by God that there's this thing, chemicals that comes from your brain to your stomach that says, turn it on. And it goes, wah. I don't care if you just ate an hour ago. Y'all ever hear that?
Yeah.
You ever feel it? Sometimes it can be so embarrassing. And it's always at the wrong time. So while you're fasting, you're probably going to get a lot of that. There's nothing in there. You're not dying. Another thing that fasting can do when we're personally to seek God or whatever. If you're having problems believing God, that can help you to get the unbelief out. If you're having problems with your eating problems, one of the things that I do before I start to change my eating habits is I go on a fast. Not long, just a fast. Because I don't know about y'all, but I like to eat, and I like to eat what tastes good to me. That's why I eat too much of it. But while something happens, something strange happens, while I'm fasting, a dead cow looks good sometimes. You know. Now, there's one thing I can't take, and that's asparagus. I cannot. But something happens whenever you come off a fast. It will help you control your desires. Y'all not saying that. Your desire for things that you know is not the will of God. Habits. It can help you to overcome habits. It can help you. The Bible talks about how that there's some, their God is their stomach. And when you look that word stomach up, he's not talking about necessarily this thing right in here. He's talking about their appetites, their desires. How many knows all of our flesh has desires that is not the will of God? That's not good for us. Fasting is one of the things that can help us to overcome that. Just like I said, if I'm going to change my eating habits, one of the first things I will do, I will set a time to fast. Why? Because I'm ridding myself of all that other junk. And it helps to get the cravings away. Because by the time I'm done, I don't care what it is. Just give me some broccoli. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when I've got to start eating different or wanting to eat different, I will do that. Why? Because it'll help to create and change desires. Now, one of the things that fasting is supposed to do, and it will do, that fasting and prayer, when it's done right, like I'm talking about this morning, it creates a hunger for God. God put that on the inside of us. But the thing about us is we can fill ourselves up so full with natural food, with the world, with the things the Bible talks about. Don't even be drunk on the world or the things of the world. So when we fill ourselves up too much with work, too much with busyness, too much with food and things like that, how many knows you can get real dull? Jesus talked about don't be dull of hearing, right? Then I get real dull in the spirit. I heard one of the best illustrations of fasting this week that I have ever heard in my life, to me. And this is the story. I reckon it's supposed to be a true story. You know, back in the olden days, they didn't use a lot of machines. They cut down trees with axes and, you know, stuff like that. Well, they even still have what they call lumberjacking contests today, you know, where you're a lumberjack, you get out there and cut down as many as you can, fast as you can, and all that. Well, this is the story. There was an old lumberjacker, and he was known for his fastness. And he was an older man. Well, this younger guy, he got pretty good at it, you know, and everything, and thought he would just try out the older guy. So he challenged him. I bet I can cut down more trees in one day than what you can with an axe, is how they're doing this. So he agrees. So they get started, you know, boy, and I mean that young one, he's going at it. He's chopping. He chops all day long, nonstop. And he just knows he's got the old man whooped. Because every hour, the old man will stop for a 15-minute break. And this younger guy has done it nonstop all day, just as fast as he could go. Well, at the end of the day, they counted the trees up and all that. The older guy won. And then the younger guy asked him, he said, how is this possible? You stop, you would only cut for an hour and then stop for 15 minutes. You stop after every hour for at least 15 minutes, and I kept on going nonstop. And the older guy, he told him, he said, yeah, but the thing is, you don't understand. He says, every hour that I would stop for that 15-minute break and I sat down there, he said, I sharpened my saw. Did y'all get it?
Yeah.
That is one of a wonderful thing that fasting will do for us. It will help sharpen us spiritually.
Yep.
Because there's times, listen, and I don't suggest you go at the beginning of the year, which is a wonderful thing, fast at the beginning of the year, and then not do any fasting and praying the rest of the year. Why? Because all along our journey, we have to make adjustments. Just like an airline pilot. They make adjustments constantly. They don't just set them a course and they never have to turn that, whatever that thing is called. No, they're constantly making adjustments. We constantly have to make adjustments in our life. And prayer and fasting is one of the great things that will help us to do that. So the point to that story was the older man won because he sharpened his saw. There's sometimes, if you're in these services and you're hearing the word of God and it's not penetrating you, Did y'all hear what I said? Do you know the difference?
Yeah.
And it's not penetrating you. Mark 3 talks about the good ground and the not so good ground and the stony ground and the ground with thorns in it. One of the things that fasting can help us do is not be dull, but also the Bible talks about in the Old Testament, he says, break up the fallow ground. Right? Y'all ever seen what they call fallow ground, or so the way we call it today, new ground? It's never been tore up. It's got rocks, it's got stumps, it's got grass, it's got kudzu, it's got hard dirt that if you throw a seed out there, it's not going to do anything. Why? It can't get no penetration. Do you realize sometimes we can get that way in the spirit till we're still coming to church, we're still doing all the religious things that we need to be doing, we're still reading our Bible, but it just seems like we're not getting anywhere, that there's not anything happening. You probably need to do some fasting and pray. Why? Because that helps to break up that fallow ground. So then when you do come to church and you hear the word, you don't just sit there and like, that's good. No, it goes on the inside of you, and it's like when you're coming off a fast, oh, God, oh, this broccoli tastes awesome. Broccoli's never tasted like this before.
Yeah.
If we're not coming to church and that happened to us, maybe you're in the wrong church, or maybe you need to fast and pray for a while because you have become real dull, and you need to sharpen up your axe. I'm talking to me, too. Now, are you ready, Zach? You look bored. He's like, we got a bunch of scriptures, and he's just waiting to get started, huh? Let's see where I want to go here.
That's the good stuff. It's more just basic.
So when you're fasting, listen, we're not on a diet. Do you realize there's fasting diets out there? They call it intermittent fasting. They'll fast from food for so long, certain hours they'll eat. Then they go back to the fast, certain hours they skip. Then they go back to the fasting. It's a weight loss thing. We're not on that. Anybody can diet. Not everybody can fast and pray and see God. And I don't think our new generation really knows how to fast and pray and see God, a lot of them, like what they should, because some of us older have never taught them. Aubrey knows what fasting is. She said something about it the other day. Now, she don't want to do it. She thinks Aiden needs to do it. Yeah, I remember now what it was. It was on that little mini vacation where we went for 3 or 4 days up there, wherever we went to. And we was up there, and she wanted a certain thing for supper. Wade wanted something different. And I said, well, you know, we've done all the time, you know, and Aiden wants this. She said, Grandma, can't he just fast tonight? I said, well, no, he can't just fast. So she understands what fasting is. Sad to say, there's some adults, you can try to talk to them about fasting, and they think it's doing away with TV. Or they think it's doing away with Facebook, or something like that. And that's not a biblical fast, even though you can do those things. But there comes a time in your life. Listen, you're never going to go to the place that God wants you to go. You're never going, I'm never going to carry the anointing that God wants me to carry. I didn't say I would have one, but that he wants me to carry without fasting and praying. I've never seen a ministry become great that did not have fasting and praying in that ministry. Never. I think it was John Wesley. He would not even ordain a person into the ministry without they fasted at least twice a week. Every week. Golly, boy. Would we have any ministry around here if we did that? For some we would. I might be the first to go. I don't know. I'm just messing with y'all. But I mean, honestly, that's how important that it was, that they knew that it was. Well, in the New Testament, if y'all remember, when the way that, who was it? Paul and Barnabas, they got anointed and appointed was they was the elders was on a fast. Y'all remember that in the book of Acts? And the Holy Ghost spoke while they was on a fast. He said, set apart unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry. They heard the Lord. You know what they did? They fasted some more. And then they laid hands on them and ordained them and sent them out. Do you know right now you can ordain your dog into the ministry on the internet? Where as the church are we going? Jesus is coming, people, and he's coming real soon, and we're going to have to get the slack out. I didn't say we wouldn't go with him, But I don't know about y'all. I don't want to stand there and Monty get all the things that I could have done or that the Lord had for me, all the rewards that he had for me to do. But I didn't do it. I wouldn't get the slack out. So therefore, somebody else, he had to call to do it. Why? Because his will is going to be done. He wants to use me. He's chosen to use me. But that depends in a big part on me. He will not make me do anything. Another thing that fasting is good for is to humble ourselves. Don't you ever think that you dealt with pride one time in your life and you're done. You're slapped up with it if you think that. And we all can tell. Why? Because that is built into the nature of our flesh. Somebody tell a story and I need to tell a bigger fish story. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And listen, there's people, I mean, the Bible even warns us about it. There's people, they put pride in how long or how often they fast. You should better not do it. You just lost every reward you was going to get for that. It's not about how long. It's not about how often. That's one of the reasons why he says, while you're fasting, don't do like the hypocrites do. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, let everybody know you're fasting. Oh, I'm just starving to death for the Lord Jesus, I tell you. We don't need to know that. And you just lost your reward. And the Bible says, I've got scripture for it right down here. He says, whatever I do in secret, my Father will reward me openly. And he's talking about fasting in that very verse. So this tells me that God has rewards to those who will seek him in fasting and praying. And let's get to some scripture here. Let's look at Mark 2. Zach will put it on the screen for us. That was the first one, wasn't it? Yeah, he got it. Okay. Let me get over it right quick. 18. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, talking to Jesus, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, and I told you, almost all religions have fasting in them, and they all have praying. It says, and Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom, he's talking about himself, with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. Has Jesus been taken away from us? Yeah, he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, according to Scripture. He says, and then shall they fast in those days. Now, he got taken away, and are we his disciples today?
Yes.
Then we're supposed to be praying and fasting. Now, I'm not telling you when to do it. I'm not telling you how long to do it. I'm not telling you, you even have to be led to do it. Now, there's some I would endeavor to be led before I did, like the 3 day, over 3 days with no water. Because the point is not to just break our bodies down to where we destroy it. No, Jesus bought these bodies with a price, the Bible says, right? So that's not the point of doing it. Now, let's look at Matthew 6. So we see in that verse, he said when Jesus was taken away, his disciples would fast, and we are his disciples today. So therefore, we fast and pray and seek God, right? Thank you, Abe. We fast and pray and seek God, right? All right, Matthew 6, 16 through 18. He says, moreover, these are red, so we know Jesus is talking. When you fast, not if, not when you're led. He says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces and that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So that tells me in that verse how not to be. And that don't mean that can't nobody know it. If Scotty's going to go on an extended fast, I appreciate it when he tells me. Because I can eat me a sandwich and not cook a 5-course meal that he's not going to eat. And then that tries to make me mad. And while you're fasting, don't get mad. You better hear me. While you're fasting, don't get mad. Don't get your feelings hurt. Don't get offended. The first thing you'll feel is, this ain't doing no good. I might as well go eat.
Right.
You don't want that to happen to you. He goes on here. He says, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast. So in other words, your motives is right. He says, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward me openly. What I do in private, and I get up here, everybody's going to see, good or bad. Yeah. So he says there's a reward to it. Now let's look at Luke 18. We're going to start in verse 9. It says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. If you don't know, publicans, they are considered sinners. So inside today, one's saved and one's not. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Talking about the guy that was praying. I fast twice in the week. I told you, don't get proud of your fasting. It'll try. Don't let it happen to you. He says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, talking about the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. The word abased means humbled or brought low. It says, exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself or brings himself low himself shall be exalted. I don't know about y'all, but I would much rather humble myself than be humiliated in front of people. Yeah. I'd rather humble myself and let God exalt me. The Bible even talks about how don't even praise yourself. Let another man's lips praise you. Right. Don't be boasting and bragging about yourself all the time and telling all your stories. Now, I'm not saying don't testify here, but be glad about your testimony.
Right.
There's supposed to be something in our testimony that when we do it, if everybody in here, it does something to them. It shines some kind of light on the Lord.
Right.
Not just you testify and we clap. We don't think nothing's good about it, but we're clapping because everybody else is clapping. Y'all not saying nothing. Mm-hmm. I do it sometimes. I just go, because y'all are clapping. Right. I don't want to look like a...
David
Yeah.
Debbie Downer.
So we need to be led about the things that we say in here. And I tell you, if you're having a problem with your mouth, if you're anything like me, one day by the end of the day, I'm sitting there like this.
Shut down.
My mouth, and that's one reason why I have to, often I'll have to fast, is because my mouth will get real negative.
Right.
And the Bible talks about how there's life and death in the power of my words. So if you're having a problem with your words or your attitude, you'll want a good fast. Right. By the end of the day, I mean, I don't want to talk. I ain't got nothing to say. Just nothing. Scotty says, do it more often. Worry about yourself. Oh, babe, where are we at now? Oh, we read all that. All right, let's see. Psalm 34:13. You can put it on the screen for us and I'll just quote it. Or, well, maybe I can read it from right here. Psalm 35:13. It said, and this is David talking. He says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. So we read over there about the publican and the sinner. One was proud in himself of all the things that he did, and the publican is asking to be merciful. And he said, if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, you'll be made, you'll be brought low. Well, David says here, I humbled myself with what? Fasting and prayer. You never want to do one without the other. I mean, you never want to do fasting without prayer. He said, I humbled my soul. What is your soul?
Mind, will, and emotions.
If you're having a problem being high-minded, go on the fast. It'll help you. Why? Because I should not think, according to Scripture, the Bible says, I should not think more highly of myself than what I ought to. So then that means if I'm having a problem, I need to bring myself low. I need to bring myself low in prayer and fasting and in my thinking to think in line with Scripture about myself. Not bad about myself, but just in line with Scripture. So we see here that David humbled himself with prayer and fasting. Now, 1 Kings 21. This is talking about Ahab. Now, Ahab had just got some bad news. He had just got a prophecy of... It's all over, but all over, pretty much. I'm paraphrasing here. Verse 27, and it came to pass when Ahab heard these words that he rent or tore his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite saying, and what he went on to say, what this is judgment's coming on Ahab. He was not a good guy. Well, he gets in sackcloth and ashes and starts fasting and doing some repenting. God sends the word back over here, and he tells him, he said, okay, go tell him. I'm not going to do this to you. It's going to come in the day of your son. So we see in this verse, fasting and praying with repentance can sometimes stop judgment. Y'all hear what I said?
Amen.
That's one of the things that happened with Nineveh. God sent Jonah over there to preach, but if you read the story, Jonah went over there and the king declared a fast. Prayer and fasting, sitting in sackcloth and ashes with repentance. And because the word that he was taking was, God's going to destroy this whole city.
Right.
Y'all go read the story. Yeah. He's going to destroy this whole city because judgment is coming. Some people think judgment don't come today, but it does. That judgment is coming, and when Jonah spoke the word of the Lord to them, the king turned the whole thing around. They all went into fasting and praying and in repentance, and God said, okay, I'm not going to do it. So I don't know about y'all, but there's times in my life that I do wrong things. Say I start judging somebody. I don't ever want to do that. I have done that before, and I have seen the judgment come right back to me. I could tell you quite a few stories of that. I didn't realize I was doing it at the time, but when it came to me, I saw it for exactly what it is. The Bible says over there, oh, I can't think right this minute, it's chapter 7, I think it's Matthew 7. But anyway, he says, judge not, lest you be judged. What's that mean? He says, for whatever judgment you put out, it's kind of like this. You point at somebody else, you got this one coming right back at you. If you dealt out judgment to them with a shovel, you're going to get judgment back with a shovel. If you dealt out to them judgment with a dump truck, you're going to get dealt right back to you with a dump truck. Oh, no, I ain't saying nothing. And sometimes because it's in a different area, I think what I'm doing is okay. Because I didn't talk about them like so-and-so did. I wasn't trying to make anybody see them in a bad light. Y'all not saying nothing. I was just telling it like it was. Anytime that I say something about somebody that causes somebody else to see, especially my brothers or sisters in the Lord, in a bad light, it's coming right back to me. Because it's called uncovering others. You're not supposed to uncover others. Even, listen, I see faults y'all got in here. I'm not stupid. Y'all see, surely y'all see faults. If you don't see faults, you can go home with me. It's going to tell y'all about them. I have a bunch of them. But one of the things that we're called to do is to overlook little flaws and nitpicking things. And now I'm not talking about blatant, open, rebellious sin and stuff. That stuff has to be dealt with. Let me tell you something that hopefully you'll never forget. I heard this and it helped me. Ignorance needs instruction. Ignorance means you don't know. So you need some instruction. Rebellion gets corrected. If y'all remember the story, that is the very thing, very reason why God himself rejected Saul from being king. Was that rebellious spirit, that rebellious attitude. He don't like it. The Bible says there's six things that God hates, and seventh is abomination to him. And one of the things in there is just a proud look. Just a... He hates it. So I don't know about y'all. I don't want none of that in me. I don't know how we got off on that. Oh, yeah. It was about pride. Because fasting and prayer can help us to humble ourselves and get our soul straightened out. That's where our mind and our will and our emotions are. We got a few minutes. I don't think we got time to do, I know we don't, Isaiah 58. We may get to that next week. We're going to do that whole chapter and examine some things. In Psalms 34:8, Zach, this is a scripture that's been coming to me all week long. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." I thought, because it kept coming to me, and I thought, yeah, you're trying to say something here. You know, it just kept coming to me, kept coming to me. And I couldn't remember at the time exactly where the scripture was, and I even heard it. Psalm 34:8, and I thought, I'm going to see if you're right. I hope he cares. I turned to Psalm 34:8, and I thought, you might know what it was. But he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I looked up the word taste there. You know what that means? Experience. I can tell you, Shannon, what an apple looks like. I can take a bite of that apple and you can hear the crunch, and I'm going, like Travis. You can hear me chomping that apple, and I go, mmm, this is a good apple. You will never get any benefit of that apple. You will never know what that apple tastes like as far as your taste buds. It might even taste a little different to you when you get a bite of it. That's what he's saying about himself. He says, "Oh, come experience the Lord for yourself and see that he's good."
Amen.
Prayer and fasting will help you to experience the Lord in a way that you never have before. And I'm telling y'all right now, we are living, I believe, to be the last of the last days. And we're going to have some juice. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we could go over there to the 10 wise, 10 foolish virgins, but we ain't got time for that. 5 was wise, and they took extra oil, which, talking about the Holy Ghost, the anointing. 5 was foolish. They didn't take enough. We're going to have to be full up in the last days. We need to be experiencing the Lord for ourselves. And for people and in our services to become more, I mean, just saturated with the presence of the Lord in this house. I'm telling you, I have been in some services to the point to where it is just, you're not even aware of time.
Right.
You're not aware where you are. You don't even care. I mean, because the Lord has so manifested himself. And see, when people walk in the door and they walk into that kind of atmosphere, what do you think happens to them? Some start crying. They start repenting. They start crawling to the altar. Why? Because God is experience. They're beginning to experience the presence of God and his love and his forgiveness. And everybody wants that if they ever experience it. But if we're too full of the world, and we're too full of self, and we're too full of pride and all this other stuff, we can't bring that kind of presence in this house.
Right.
Even though we keep coming here, and we keep playing, and we keep clapping and all of that. Do you know that's a bunch of religious nonsense?
Yeah.
Don't mean we don't love God, but it means our acts need sharpening. I've got to stop because time is up. Does anybody have any questions or comments or anything before we close?
That's good.